Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Today we consider one of the last wishes of Jesus. That's what I like to consider this text, John 15. Jesus says this, last wish for his children. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus' last wish for his people. Dear friends, to what extent will you go to fulfill a parent's last wish and desire? How far would you go? There's a movie that describes a man who will go to the very ends of the earth to make sure that his father's wish and his final desire is fulfilled. It's a movie I reference often when I teach, and that is the movie The Terminal with Tom Hanks. Maybe you remember this. The character is Victor Navorsky, and his father has a strong desire to get 57 autographs of the jazz musicians on the poster that hangs in his home. The father has gotten 56 of the 57 autographs. The one that he's missing is Benny Goodson, who's playing at a nightclub in New York City. So Victor gets on a plane and goes all the way across the Atlantic, but while he is going across the Atlantic, his country of Krakosia has a coup. And because that happens, he no longer has a homeland, and the United States will not allow him to enter into the United States. He has to sleep in a terminal. For 7 months, he sleeps on dirty seats. Would you do that? For 7 months, he eats Burger King Whoppers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Would you do that? For 7 months, he goes into the restroom and cleans himself. That's how he kind of takes care of himself for 7 months. How many of us would do that? You see, the movie The Terminal is about one person's desire to make sure the final wish of his father is finally fulfilled. To what extent will you go to make sure that a parent's desire is fulfilled? I'd like for you to think that way as we take a look at John 15, because Jesus is giving actually a final wish for his disciples, his children. But you see, we're not here to get information and technical information about things. Jesus is speaking to us. We are his children. And here's his last wish for you before he dies. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. There's the command. Hey, we got off pretty easy. That's not too difficult. We don't have to get on a plane and go all the way across the world to fulfill that. To love someone is, you just got to write a few notes and encourage someone. We all can do that. To love someone, you just wave at them and make them feel good. That's pretty easy. To love someone, it's fairly simple. Be kind to them and give pleasantries. That's not what Jesus is talking about. I want to slow us down. Loving someone is far more difficult. You see, actually loving someone is harder than staying in a terminal for 7 months eating Burger King Whoppers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Loving others is far deeper than just writing notes and saying words of encouragement. Loving someone is going to the very ends of the earth, doing everything we can for the other person. What is loving someone? I'd like to suggest what that is this morning, and perhaps why our culture is struggling right now in so many ways. Loving someone means trusting them. Not just saying nice things. It's trusting them. How many would say here this morning that we have a very trusting world that we're living in? Not many. Pew Research actually backs that up. This question was posed to many individuals. Generally speaking, do you have a trust of other people? That was the question. Generally speaking, do you have a trust of other people? Here were the results by Pew Research. Only 28% of people have a general trust of institutions and other people. A millennial generation, which is a little younger than me, aged about 22 to about 35, that percentage is 17%. 17% trust institutions or people. We've got trust issues. How can we love others if we don't trust? During Martin Luther's day, Martin Luther would oftentimes in his sermons speak about this, and he would tell a story that was circulated in many of the German towns. And Luther believed, and I believe this too, that there's a reason why there's so much distrust in the world. You see, someone is sowing the seeds of distrust into our minds and into our hearts. Satan is. Luther told this little story. The devil once wanted to separate a husband and a wife. He wanted to get a wedge in them. They loved each other so much. And the devil wanted to separate them and create strife. And he couldn't do it. So he hired an old man to do the job. And he promised to pay him a lot of money. And so the old man went to work to bring strife and discord. The old man went to the husband first. And he told the husband that his wife was unfaithful and that she was planning to get rid of him. And in proof of this information, the old man said that the wife had a razor blade under her pillowcase. The man lived with lots of suspicion and doubt about his wife from this little thing that was planted, the seed in his heart and in his mind. That same old man then went to the wife to tell a similar story. He approached her and whispered into her ear that her husband had been unfaithful and that he was planning to get rid of her. And the proof and what she needed to do was to place a razor blade underneath her pillowcase at night to protect her. She lived with lots of suspicion and fear. And the husband and wife walked around that day and went their different ways. But when they came to bed that night to go to sleep, the husband got so full of fear and doubt, he checked under the pillow to see if that razor blade was there. And sure enough, there it was. And he ran out of the house and the two were separated forever. Luther told that tale often. You know, if husbands and wives can't love each other, or if they can't trust each other, they can't love one another. See, friends, there is someone secretly at work planting little seeds in our hearts and minds, driving wedges between husbands and wives, driving wedges between relatives, driving wedges between institutions and countries, driving wedges trying to get us to a point where we will no longer trust one another. You know, when we plant seeds outside, we expect fruit to come. And when that doesn't happen, we're shocked. We really shouldn't be shocked by the distrust that we see in our culture and society. Someone's planting seeds. That's why the Bible talks about it all the time. James, Corinthians, Proverbs, littered with texts about strife, discord, distrust. There's so much, and the Bible wants to warn against us. Our hymnody as well, fear and distrust remove. You know that famous hymn. You know, Jesus, what Jesus does here, his request is an odd one, friends. Again, his final wish is this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What's odd about that is that Jesus is willing to die for us, the King of all, but here's the odd thing. Jesus doesn't want a kickback for what he's done for us. He doesn't sacrificially do something so that we'll do something sacrificially back for him. Jesus sacrifices his life so that he can sit back and see us love one another and trust each other. That is a dynamic teaching in this world that is desperately needed. God, when he gives us his grace, God doesn't need our grace. God has all the grace he needs. God gives us grace so that we can give it to others. God is full of mercy. He gives us mercy, not so we kick it back to him. God doesn't need our mercy, friends. God doesn't need it. He gives us mercy so we can give it to others. God is full of trust and love. He gives it to us. We give it back to him, but he primarily gives love and trust so that we can extend it with real people in our lives. This is my final commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I'm not very good at planting. I'm not very good at seed growing. I've failed a lot. Alicia and I fail all the time. It's why we have very few plants in our house. In fact, when I came here the very first time, Carol noticed I wasn't very good at keeping the plant watered in my office. I'm not very good at those things. But what I've learned about planting and weeds is this. There are lots of strategies to take care of weeds. One way is to pull them up. I don't know if we have anybody that likes to pull weeds. Another strategy is to spray the weeds. Go out there early in the season. But there's another strategy that sometimes can work. That is, there are some plants that if you plant them, they can squelch and take away the weeds. They can make it so that there's no ground for the weeds to spread out and make the garden untenable and cared for. Well, if distrust, friends, is a weed that's growing in our community and society, Jesus gives us a plant to put into the ground, in the seeds and hearts of others, that can take up all the space so that the seeds of distrust can go away. That is the seed of trust. Have you planted that in the heart or mind of another person? That is a powerful thing. When we speak to others and say, I trust you, not blind trust, but when we say we trust you and depend upon them, when we do that to our leaders in our community, to one another here in our church and express trust in each other, all of a sudden the weeds of distrust are squelched and they go away. And in the church and in the community, we have a beautiful garden that looks just the way that it should be. God wants a garden of trust, not a garden of weeds. Of distrust. Dear friends, when Jesus restored people, when I read the Bible, Jesus, when he restored them, actually had a unique strategy. Jesus never said, necessarily, I forgive you. He never said, I love you so much in his exact wording. But what Jesus said was this, I trust you. He said it to Peter. When Peter had denied him, Jesus went to Peter and said, here's my kingdom, Peter. I trust you with it. Feed my sheep, John chapter 19. Feed my lambs. And it's the same thing that Jesus does for us. We've sinned. Jesus says, I trust you. You are my child. Here is my church. Here is my kingdom. I'm putting it into your hands. So today, let's go to the ends of the earth and back if need be to fulfill Jesus' last wish. This is my commandment, that you love one another, you trust one another as I have loved you. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, fear and distrust are the ploys of the devil. We sing it, we read about it. Lord, give us hearts to trust. Trust one another. To build love in our church and into our community and have a beautiful garden that looks wonderful to the world and is a great witness of your love that we abide in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.